John Houseman is one of America's television uncles. Not the sort of uncle you'd want carving the turkey if you just know him from those Smith Barney commercials. His gaze could wilt the carrot on a snowman's nose. But the thing about uncles is that they tend to have a past. In John Houseman's case, 50 years as a driving force in American theater. When you get him talking about this, he's not such a bad guy.
The people in this town want to know what it's all about. Keep growing up. And when everybody gets together like Steve's getting together tonight, where are you then?
I have a personally very tender spot for the show because we did it 47 years ago and it was a big hit then.
The show, a 1930s radical opera called The Cradle Will Rock, was one of John Houseman's early New York directing triumphs. When his youthful repertory group, The Acting Company, revived it in California recently, Houseman showed up at a rehearsal and turned it into an impromptu acting lesson.
You were really playing that sort of like the gangster who comes in. You're not, he's a mealy mouth. He's a real smoothie, and he's always invoking God. And a little more of the false spirituality, and that is particularly true on collection, I mean, dear people, aren't you going to contribute a little, please? A little more smarmy. Don't hurry it. There was a general tendency to hurry, to rush. I mean, to keep the tempo up, but...
John Houseman knows about hurrying. As a writer, a director, a producer, and an actor in Hollywood, on Broadway, on television. He's also been chronicling this odyssey in an ongoing autobiography. The third and last volume, Final Dress, was published last summer.
The truth is that I did not set out to write an autobiography. I firmly believed that it was not an ego trip.
If Houseman has an ego, he's earned it, to coin a phrase. For nearly half a century, he has helped amplify America's dramatic voice. From the Mercury Theater, which he founded with Orson Welles in 1937, through years of producing movies, creating live television at CBS,
if you learn nothing else at this law school, let this teach you that a lawyer never blames failure on an outside
factor. And finally, in his 70s, his arrival as an actor, when he won an Academy Award as Professor Kingsfield in The Paper Chase, which went on to become a television series. But for all his cultural achievements, most Americans connect John Houseman with this dramatic persona.
Smith Barney. They make money the old-fashioned way. They earn it.
When it's time for the British tweeds to come off, when John Houseman wants to put aside Professor Kingsfield and the haughty investment broker, he comes here to Malibu, to a house overlooking the Pacific, and mellows out.
Why do you do commercials?
Let's be quite squalid about it. The first is that they are extraordinarily lucrative for a minimal amount of time and work. The second is that they are, after all, and I know this sounds pretentious, but they are a form of acting.
It's not John Houseman is hardly the fierce patriarch that he likes to portray on camera. The son of a stern French father, the victim of a strict English education, Houseman insists that the driving force of his life has been terror.
I was always an alien. I was always an outsider. When I went to England, I was a little French frog who arrived, and I hadn't known all the things that they knew, so I was totally a stranger. When I went back to France for my vacations, I was a little English upstart and totally a stranger. And that has been pretty true throughout my life.
And once you get in from the outside, once you make it to MGM and produce those good movies and become comfortable, the absence of terror then drives you.
Yes, I think actually I find that the absence of terror is a great handicap in my work. I think I need I needed, I think it's less today, but I needed the terror. You will now dispose of my little girl. Go away. Go on. Go away. The deck... don't be too dramatic into the telephone. You shouldn't really be getting those laughs.
Somehow, John Houseman has harnessed his terror and made it a force for good. He started 8 theaters over the years. His pride is the acting company. It's made up of graduates from the Juilliard School of Drama, which Houseman once directed. The company travels the country, making drama the old-fashioned way.
Drugstore scene, you were galloping around the stage.
The regional theaters, the theater all over America is in very healthy, good condition. The only place where it is deathly sick is New York City.
I've beaten you to a pulp.
The economic situation has become so outrageous and so impossible that no creative work is done in New York City except possibly off Broadway and in a few small off Broadway theaters where good work and wonderful work is done. But any place where it costs $500,000 to do a one-set legitimate play is hopeless. And the result is that nothing gets created on Broadway. If you pay $50 a ticket, you want an accredited success.
John Houseman himself is an accredited success. But the terror that drove him there took on a vivid form as he grew older. In Final Dress, Houseman writes, "But now, gradually, as I approached my 70th year, the man with the scythe was moving back into my life. No longer a figure in a remote costume drama, but an immediate and insistent reality from which there was no escape."
Now Houseman is 81, and the man with the scythe, death, does not terrify him any longer.
Yes, well, you know, you can't go on into your 80s and not make your peace to some degree. Until then, I'd been totally and absolutely unaware and unconscious of the question of age. I mean, I'd really, into my 70s, I continued to think of myself as a promising young man trying to make his way in the world.
It's always sort of ambivalent whether the audience is going to clap. Should we worry about that at all?
You've been worrying about that for 2 months. If you want to be real hammy, you can get that hand. A little bit. And I wouldn't hesitate. I hate to give you crass and coarse advice. But, I mean, it's part of theater. You can get that hand. Any actor knows how to get a hand. I can get a standing ovation any night I want. No, I mean it. It's purely mechanical. It's the timing. You just stay on stage a little longer, and then you thank them, and when you do that, they get up. It's true. It's a sordid. Don't ever repeat that.